Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Chase Adams doesn't know me. I know who he is. Plays basketball at the University of Portland. He is a freshman guard. He started most of the games for the Pilots this last season. He is a Chicago kid who's got roots there, but he is also a guy who is in the middle of what is a frontline battle in this coronavirus, rat bastard virus, as I call it. Within the last week, the Southside Chicago home of the family of Chase Adams has been on lockdown. His grandmother, 82 years old, is in the hospital. She is in ICU on a ventilator. She has tested positive for coronavirus. His dad has a cough. He's quarantined. It's brutal. And worst of all, his grandfather, Ralph, passed away on Sunday of heart failure. And, you know, I had heard all this was going on, and University of Portland said, you know, if you want him on the show, he's a great kid. He'd probably, you know, love to maybe take a breath and talk about some of this stuff. And I want to bring him on, and he's joining us now. Hey, Chase, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing all right. Take us back through sort of, you know, the family. You know, you find out your grandmother, you know, was that the first thing where it got scary for you guys?
Just being who we are, we really don't believe in the fear and the word scary. We try to, you know, do everything in confidence. But yeah, definitely hearing that about my granny, you know, was an eye-opener, especially, you know, not knowing too much about this virus. That definitely opened our eyes the most, and that let us know how real and severe this thing could get.
Let me ask you about your grandmother. Juanita is her name, 82 years old. She's in the hospital now, but, you know, growing up around grandma, what's she like? What is sort of her essence?
Oh, man, my grandma is the backbone of this family. We've always, you know, been a big family. We've always been around each other, and lived in the same house. So just, you know, I don't know life without my granny. None of us really do. My dad doesn't. My mom doesn't, really, for real. So, you know, things have been different these last couple of days. Just, you know, without her presence, she's a joyful person. She's the person that, you know, makes everything go here in this house. So she's different without her right now.
Your grandmother has diabetes. She suddenly got ill. Her blood sugar was low, as I understand it. And how is she doing now?
Right now, she's fighting. Her organs were beginning to fail yesterday, but they didn't expect her to make it through the night 2 days ago. You know, but she's still fighting. She's here 2 days later. She made two more days, and people don't know her how I know her. She's a fighter. And she's not going to go down without a fight, so I'm thankful for that.
We're talking to Chase Adams, University of Portland basketball player, and he's in Chicago with his family. I mentioned your father. Your dad also has a cough. He's 62 years old. And how is he doing, and why hasn't he been tested? Are there just not enough tests?
Yeah, so it's a shortage of tests in the state of Illinois. From what they tell us, it would make sense for all of us to be tested, knowing that my granny lived here and actually has the virus. So that would actually, you know, make sense in my opinion. as a real reason why we should get tested. You know, but they said that you have to actually have the symptoms and have to actually be showing corona, like I said, symptoms in order to get tested here in the state, which doesn't really make sense, because if that's the case, then we would know we have it already. You know, but my dad has not been tested. We've just been taking precaution just because he's the only one that's been coughing. That's about it. That's really just how we're dealing with it right now with him.
Set the scene for us. You know, what is life like when you're living sort of amid the idea that, hey, this virus is near us?
For us, you know, my dad, he's upstairs in his room. He's in the master bedroom or whatever. My mom, she sleeps on the couch because she would usually sleep with him. Then me and my cousin, we're in the basement. My room is in the basement. We share a room down here. And then my sister, she's upstairs as well. Her room is up there. You know, but we just, you know, have to social distance within the house as well. And so we can't get too close to each other. You know, we can't be doing too much around each other. And then everything we do, we have to sanitize it right after, as soon as we touch something or as soon as we go to a certain place. It's just weird having to wear gloves in your own house, you know, not being able to step outside or nothing, you know, have to be here for the 14 days or whatever, however many days of quarantine, that's just stuff.
You know, it's incredibly strong, I think, a lot of strength from your family and publicly talking about this stuff, and your grandfather, Ralph, dies on Sunday of heart failure, and I can't imagine going through, you know, grandma and then grandfather passing away and having all of this happen. Why is it important for you to talk about it?
For one, with this whole corona thing, I think that it was important for me to put out the statement that I did, you know, basically for the youth and for the generation that I'm a part of, because, you know, I have peers and friends and, you know, just people of my age that I didn't feel like people were taking it as serious as they should. You know, this is around spring break time for people that's in college, and I saw people still, you know, taking their trips. And I'm like, yo, it's not the time to be taking a trip. Y'all need to get to y'all family and, you know, be with them and be home. You know, so when I found out about my grandmother, it was a no-brainer for me and my mom to collaborate on putting out a statement through my school, just letting people know, like, yo, this is real. This is not just a thing that celebrities are saying, or, you know, people of politics and physicians. This is a real thing. Somebody, you know, that's just a regular person from a regular place.
People are being affected by it. You know, one of our associate producers, Adriana, who you spoke to before coming on the air, lost her grandfather, you know, last week, and it's hitting home for a lot of people. It makes me mad when I see people who aren't distancing. When I, you know, if you drive by somewhere and people are playing, you know, a game in the park, and you're like, are you kidding me? What is the scene in Chicago? Are you allowed outside the house, given that there was a positive test inside the house, or are you quarantined to the house?
Technically, we're quarantined to the house, but I was here for a week beforehand, before everything, you know, kind of started unraveling. It was pretty quiet. I mean, people were still outside, you know, walking around and stuff. You know, it's just a busy city, but you could definitely feel the difference. You could definitely see the difference just being out in the street and being out at home. You know, just you could tell that people were taking heed to it for the most part. It's hard to kind of set a city like Chicago down.
We're talking to Chase Adams, University of Portland basketball player. Started all but two games this year for the Pilots, and obviously is dealing with a lot of family stuff that is going on, and certainly handling it with a lot of poise and grace. The story goes that you had several friends that you lost as you were growing up due to violence in Chicago, and at the age of 15, your brother Drake passed away as a result of a seizure. You have dealt with a lot. How has that affected you?
It just I'm 20 years old now, and it just made me the person that I am. Just being from here, you have to grow up a little bit faster than you would think of most people, you know, around the country, in different places. Chicago is a tough place to be in, you know, but you know, I'm grateful for being here because, you know, I wouldn't be the person that I am if I wasn't from here. Me and my family, I always talk about how the plate we were dealt by God is definitely bigger than a lot of people for a reason. And these are the reasons right here. If our plate wasn't this big, I don't think we'd be able to get through this. But we're a strong family. We got a strong backbone. We got strong belief. And we're very spiritual. So, you know, we don't think there's nothing we can't handle.
I'm a sports writer and we do a sports radio show, but I always say that this show is really about people, and this is just such a reminder, and your strength is such a reminder. And you know, now I've been thinking about your grandmother ever since you put that statement out, and kind of thinking about her and praying for her and hoping that she knows that, you know, you guys are near. Do you have any sense of, you know, she's in the ICU. Is she on a ventilator? Was your mom or anybody able to sort of put their arms around her before she went, or is it just because of the coronavirus, everybody's had to be away?
So the way it works is, I don't think any hospitals are letting visitors in the hospital for any reason. I think that if you are admitted into the hospital, you're there pretty much by yourself, even if you're not with, you don't have corona, just because of the actual virus itself and social distancing rules and stuff like that. But, you know, last night we got a chance. My grandma, she's in an induced a coma. It's just protocol for the actual virus stuff. So we actually got a chance to talk to her yesterday. Well, not actually talk to her, but actually, you know, let her hear us. You know, it's medically proven that when someone is in a medically induced coma, they can hear us, but they can't respond, obviously. And so a nurse, we reached out to a nurse. We organized everything with her, and she was able to call us. And me, my mom, my dad, my sister, and my big cousin was able to give her just a message, you know, just tell her that we're here with her and she's not alone. And the nurse actually said that at the end of, I think my cousin was the last person to talk, when he was done and we hung up, but stopped talking to her, her heart rate went up. And her blood sugar went up, just like spiked up like crazy. And so that was just a moment. Let her know that we were there and she felt our presence. So that was just definitely great for us.
You're not surprised that your grandmother is fighting. She's a fighter, isn't she?
Oh, man. She's definitely a fighter, that's for sure.
Chase, I really appreciate you making time for us. I know this is not easy, and you know, I know a lot of our listeners and people who follow you at University of Portland will be praying for Grandma and also your father and your family, and as you go through this. And is there anything you want to say to listeners out there that may help?
I just want to thank everybody that's been thinking about my family and, you know, giving prayers and condolences. But at the end of the day, the only reason why I did all this is, you know, to raise some type of awareness and let people know that, you know, this is a real thing, and take it seriously, because you never know how or when your family could be affected by this. Also, I want to give my condolences and prayers to Andrea, because I did not know, you know, about her grandfather when she answered the phone, but definitely thinking about her.
Yeah, Chase, as I put you back on hold here, she'll be the next person you talk to. But I appreciate you sharing with our listeners. I think it gets real for people when, you know, Adriana talked about it on Friday and you talked about it today. And I think it makes it, you know, brings it home to people that this is a real thing. It is affecting people. And if you got to stay away from each other, we have to do this right now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely put the phone aside for a minute.
Thank you, man. Chase Adams, University of Portland men's basketball player. A couple things that I want to talk about there as I hear that interview. I mean, first of all, incredibly graceful, poised interview from a young person that has dealt with a lot in his lifetime. He lost a brother at age 15, lost multiple friends in Chicago, lost his grandfather over the weekend to, heart failure. And his grandmother is in a medically induced coma battling coronavirus. It has been a bad run in the Chase Adams sphere. And yet, this is a guy who's saying, I want to come on the radio show. University of Portland reached out to me, said, hey, would you like to have him on? He really wants to talk about this. And I said, yeah. I mean, I would normally have sort of backed away. And, some people, when tragedy is around them, want to be left alone. Other people, when tragedy is around them, they won't talk about it. We're all different in that sense. I don't know what kind of person I would be. I would probably go underground. But the fact that he is coming forth and talking about it, being so open about it, and frankly, I mean, there's so many tentacles to it because you also have, the medical professionals who are arranging a FaceTime call or a phone call so that they can talk to their grandmother, because part of the deal here with coronavirus is the hospitals are not letting people in. And it breaks my heart because I keep hearing about people who are essentially passing without their loved ones around them on the other side of a glass window with medical people around them who are in masks and gloves. It's not how you envision people going, It's just not. And I don't know that anybody could have foreseen this happening. I want to ask Adriana, because you heard Chase talking about all the stuff that has hit his family in the last week. It has affected your family. You've had some time since Friday to kind of digest things and think about things. And, is that a good public service for Chase to come on the show and talk about it? Or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think definitely the more young people that you can get to speak out about it to their peers, the better. Not saying that young people won't listen to the older population, but I think it's more relatable coming from somebody our age, because we have kind of been tagged as the generation that doesn't care, that's still out spring breaking and all this stuff. So I think that it's good to hear fellow millennials talking about, and like college students talking about, the severity of like what's going on and how it really can affect you more than you think.
Chase's grandmother and family was in Las Vegas for the WCC tournament. She was there sort of rooting on her grandson, and now he is in Chicago pulling for her. You got the bald-faced truth. I want your phone calls, your reaction to that. How has it affected you? How does it come in your sphere? You tell me at 503-417-7575. Also, we've got an update from the Pac-12. Commissioner Larry Scott has set an approximate deadline for determining the direction of the college football season. It's good stuff, and we'll share it coming up. Your reaction. You just heard an incredibly powerful testimonial from University of Portland men's basketball player Chase Adams, who got real on this show. He wanted on the show. He wanted to talk about it. He's under quarantine in Chicago. His grandmother's on a ventilator. His grandfather died over the weekend. He's been through some stuff. I want to know how you're doing. I want to know where your mind is. I also want to know, burning question for you, confession here. When we get a delivery, when we get mail, when we get a package, our family protocol is now to open that mail or package outside, then throw the packaging away, then wash our hands. I wondered earlier in the show if it was weird or paranoid or wise, and I posted on the Bald Faced Truth Facebook page about it, and I'm coming to find out that a lot of you out there are doing similar things. Also, nobody quite agrees on how long the virus lives on cardboard or whether or not, what do you do with the stuff that's inside the package? Got somebody on the feed who posted that they're leaving the packages in the garage for 3 days. Is the same as sterilizing the package? I don't know. Craig on the Facebook page says he does exactly what we do. But he got a pair of jeans today via mail, and the jeans were in additional plastic packaging. He says, I didn't know what to do with the jeans. Do I wash them? Do I hang them up? Do I have to sanitize the packaging inside? What's the packaging? I don't know. Every piece of reading I've done says that the virus can be detected on cardboard for at least 24 hours. Is it infectious, though? Do you sanitize what's in the package? How about the groceries? Do you wipe them down with a Lysol wipe? Alabama Adriana talked about her Doritos bag. She says before she digs in and eats her Doritos, and by the way, you shouldn't be eating Doritos, she wipes the bag down.
Why shouldn't I be eating Doritos?
That's not healthy for you.
So?
You're young. You can do it. I eat Doritos. I wouldn't be to the bottom of the bag. I'd be a pound and a half heavier by the time I finish the bag. Small bag of Doritos or big bag?
Big bag. Family size.
That's trouble. That is trouble. Andre's in Portland. I want you to weigh in as well. I have two lines open. 503-417-7575 is the number. Andre, what's going on in your world?
My heart goes out to the young gentleman. My heart goes out to Adriana as well. There's no contest. You can't be too safe with this virus. You can't be too cautious. It's just devastating. His story is there's thousands of them. I mean, and there's thousands of them that are worse than his. Like I say, it's no contest. It's just the reality. Our leadership, it still terrifies me. Economy over life is what this guy values, as you can see. It's obvious. I'm still terrified. I the only thing that's really helping me is going to work every day and providing a service that everyone needs. My son has, I got to be quarantined from him for at least a week because someone else is not taking this seriously. So it's just frustrating to me. It's incredibly stressful to me, and I imagine everyone else, but, you know, I'm not playing around with it. I'll drop kick anyone who tries to play with me with this virus. I don't care. I'm not playing.
Can I ask you, because, you know, without revealing the industry that you're in, you are an essential person. You're providing an essential service. You're going into people's homes. As you are doing that, what precautions are you being told to take, and how safe do you feel?
I don't feel completely safe. The precautions, they say don't wear a mask. I've been wearing a mask every single house I go into. I've been wearing gloves every single house I go into. I ask the customer if they've been sick or anyone's been sick. Don't let me in their house, please. The experts, they're not experts on this virus, so they don't know. They're talking about 6 feet. You stay away from people. Well, a cough goes 24 feet. Now they're saying 27 feet. And then it kicks it in the air. The little small droplets kick it in the air after you cough. It's just insane. It's like you can't be too cautious. You know, a guy on my crew is saying that it's overblown. And I'm like, well, you're insane, man. You remind me of Rudy Gobert. It's just going to be embarrassing for you if you catch it, which I hope you don't. But it's just insane to me how people still don't take this thing seriously. I'm watching a video now. A birthday party got broke up in L.A. It's like you hear about stories of people having a funeral and then they go home and the entire family and everyone who attended that funeral is starting to come down. The kids on spring break, they're going back to the university testing positive. This guy who got arrested for holding a church service. I mean, it's just insane to me. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care what you believe in. It doesn't care if you're the Pope. It's just stupid not to take it seriously. I mean, I just don't understand it. You're playing with everyone's life, my life included, your loved ones included.
Andre, when I see people, and, you know, my wife didn't want me to bring this up because she said, you know, it makes her sound like she's that lady. But she was walking, going for a walk, and she saw a bunch of kids playing tackle football. And this was a few days ago or late last week. And she called the non-emergency police number, and she says, I hate to be that lady, but there's a bunch of kids playing football. They sent an officer there, like, before she could even leave the area. There was an officer on the scene, and she told the guy, as he was pulling in. Like, I don't want him arrested or don't give him a ticket, but somebody in a position of authority needs to tell these kids. How do you feel when you see somebody who's not taking it seriously?
I do. I mean, I can't say what I want to do. I mean, you're playing with people's lives. I mean, it's a virus. It's like shooting. It's like loading up a water gun with a virus and then going to spray everybody from 10 feet away. Good for her for calling the police. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Get your kids. I mean, I still see kids with one person this day and then another person the next day.
Yeah.
Get your kids, man. You don't know what the kids are doing. They may be asymptomatic and just spreading this all over the world. I mean, we don't know. There's no experts on this virus.
I appreciate you, Andre, and you stay safe out there.
You too. Thank you.
All right, there's Andre. What about you as a listener? I intentionally left about the last hour of this show more or less open. My wife may or may not pop into the studio. She has been prone to do that. She was embarrassed that she called the non-emergency number, and she said, please don't share that on air. I said, no, I think it's really important to share that kind of stuff on air. She didn't call 911. You should not call 911. But she called the non-emergency number, and she said, you know, look, I don't want to be that lady. She doesn't want anybody arrested. But she was like, somebody's not gotten through to these kids at home, that they need to be home. That's what social distancing is. I want to know what subsequently has happened in your world.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.